Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. In today's episode, we are going to break one of my cardinal rules, which is to talk about a book that I've already talked about. But the last time that we did an episode, Jesse and I talked about this book that I was reading, Habits of the Household, and I was in the middle of reading it, and I have now finished it. And so I want to dive into some things that I learned from the book and also just some habits that we have in place, because I actually was super encouraged with reading the book to realize, oh, we are practicing the story of God in everyday family rhythms, as is the subtitle. And then there are other areas where we can be doing a better job, because you can always be improving when it comes to habits. But I want to share some things that we have in place that I didn't even really realize. So it was really encouraging, and I thought maybe it would give you some ideas and inspiration. We're also going to give an update on the last 2 weeks, because it feels like, once again, we have a bit of a wild whirlwind 2 weeks. I am starting to think, instead of this being abnormal, this is normal. And I guess if it's quiet and calm and nothing happens, that's going to be abnormal. The last time we left you, when Jesse and I did an update together podcast, I don't think Kirsten had been diagnosed with flu A. She was sick though that week. We may have alluded to that on the episode. She had been spiking a high fever, and then it would go away, and we think she was getting better, and then she would spike another fever, and this went on for about 5 days. She was off of school all week, and finally by Friday, I was like, this is a long time to keep spiking this high of fever. It would go up to 104.5, and so I called the doctor and was just going to ask them, like, what do you guys think? And it's funny because years ago, when our older three had been sick and the flu was going around, I had called the doctor because they were very sick. And I remember the doctor saying, yes, that's a high fever, but flu was just going around. They had tested positive for flu, but it had been like 4 more days or something, and they were still quite sick. And so I called again, and the doctor was like, if it's been 10 days that they have that high of a fever, definitely call back. And I was thinking,
the same doctor?
Yes. But, well, I mean, it was the doctor's same doctor's office. So okay. I was thinking when I called that they would probably just be like, oh, you know, there's so much sickness going around. You know, as long as her fever is going down when you're giving her medicine, and as long as she's, you know, acting like this and this and this, call us if it's been 10 days. But whoever I talked to on the phone, immediately, it was the pediatrician's office, and immediately the lady was like, oh, that's a really high fever. Yes, you need to get her in today. And I was like, are you sure? I mean, it's fine. It's breaking. And she's like, no. She needs to come in. She needs to be seen. So I felt like that was kind of God's direction of her needing to come in. And I thought maybe she had an ear infection or I don't know, something. But she tested positive for flu A. And honestly, I don't think I was expecting that exactly, because it just presented itself so differently than Catherine when she had flu A. But the more that I thought about it, I was like, well, she has had a fever for, I feel like with a lot of viruses, you might have a fever for 2 or 3 days, maybe 4, but usually like by the 5th day, you're getting better. And she wasn't. It took her about 7 days. I think that's what it was for her.
It seems to be like what it is and running its course. It's about a week.
I've heard from so many people that 7 days seems to be the bare minimum for so many. And then a lot of people, it's 10 to 14 days. It's crazy. So I was supposed to go to Kansas. This was Friday when we got the flu diagnosis. And then I was supposed to leave the following Thursday for Kansas. And so I'm thinking, probably somebody else is going to come down with it. I'm going to get it. Micah's going to get it. Somebody's going to get it. And we had kind of kept her away from everybody else, but she and Micah, they're just like two peas in a pod, and it's almost impossible to keep them away from one another. So I told my mom, I don't know if I'm going to be able to come. We'll just wait and see. If I'm feeling at all sick, I'm not going to come, because I did not want to get sick while I was there. Well, it was the day before I was supposed to leave, and I felt great. And so I went on this trip, which it was the first time that I had gone to visit my parents without Kirsten or Micah, except for one other time I'd gone for a really short visit. So this was a longer visit. I was going to be there Thursday through Sunday. They help host this Valentine's banquet every year. And so I was going down to help them with that, because I had helped them the year before, had so much fun. And so I was really excited to get to do it again. And it was so fun to get to exercise muscles that I don't use very often. Jesse, you and I were just talking about this the other day. When I was a teenager, I helped with so many different mm-hmm. things like this. My family was always hosting things. We were always in charge of things. And I was always, I remember we would have our church dinners, and I was the person who would help oversee everybody bringing in their food, putting their food on the table. Like,
that was a lot of logistics.
That was my job. I just always was doing things that were logistics. And I haven't done that as much. I mean, I do that somewhat in the business, but I don't do that in a really practical, tangible way very often, mm-hmm. and especially the last few years, because I usually have my arms full of children. So I'm just not the person you would think, oh, we're going to ask Crystal to do logistics. But because my parents kind of know my skill sets and stuff, they ended up having me be in charge of all of the servers. So there were 56 couples who came to this dinner from their church and the community, and I was in charge of the 18 servers that were serving the dinner, and also just in charge of making sure the food was getting out there on time and stuff. So it was really, really fun to get to jump in and do something like that, and really fun to get to do it with my parents as well. It was exhausting because we also helped to do a lot of the prep work that day. I made, I don't even know how many recipes worth of cheesecake. We did these chocolate cheesecake bowls, and did lots of chopping and cleaning and washing of dishes and cleaning up and all of that. But it was amazing, and I had so much energy and just felt it was just great. And then got home, and when I got home, I was like, I don't feel that great. But I thought, oh, I'm just exhausted. And I'd been kind of having some congestion that week. And I really think it was just because the weather was really wonky that week. And so some allergies.
Allergies are really bad.
Traveling, you know, different climates and all that. So I woke up the next morning. I still did not feel well. But I still thought, I'm probably just really tired, and it's probably just congestion. As the day wore on, though, I really had zero motivation to do anything. Still didn't really think I was getting sick. I just really thought I was tired and having allergies. But then it was probably around 8 p.m. that I started feeling like, I think I'm getting a fever. My parents had a thermometer. They gave me the thermometer. I didn't have a fever. So finished up some things, went to bed, and woke up at 2:30 a.m. I was like, I am sick. It was just like it hit. And I tried to go back to sleep. Nothing. So I was listening to podcasts in the night. Gratefully, I had water and I had the thermometer, definitely had a high fever, and just was kind of waiting out because I knew my parents were so exhausted from the last few days. So the last thing is, I did not want to wake them up, and I didn't have any medicine with me, and I didn't want to wake you up because I knew that you were home with the three little kids. So I waited till 5:30 and then finally called you because I was like, I'm supposed to fly out. My flight was not supposed to leave until 4 p.m. on Sunday. And I was miserable, and I was feeling like I was getting worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I need to get home as soon as possible so that I can just be in my own bed. And then also there was this big snowstorm that was supposed to come in the next day. Otherwise, I might have been like, hey, let me see, can I wait it out another day or two? Because I really don't want to be traveling when I feel like this. But there was a snowstorm, and it was supposed to be for the next 4 days or something. And I was like, there's no way I can stay for another 4 days. I've got to get home. So I called you at 5:30 a.m. and you were able to help me get my flight changed. So I was got on a much earlier flight and basically texted my parents at 7 a.m. and was like, so we need to leave for the airport really soon. Really sorry, guys, but I have a high fever and I need to get home. They were so gracious. They were so kind. And I was able to get some, they had obviously some ibuprofen. And once I took that, because I had, you know, had this high fever and wasn't taking in medicine, I took some right before I left for the airport. And by the time I got to the airport, my fever was starting to break and I wasn't feeling as awful. And I bought an N95 mask because I was like, I do not want to be spreading whatever I've got going on. The last thing I need to be doing is sharing these germs, and just tried to stay as far away from people as much as I could. Gratefully, it was Sunday and was the day of the Super Bowl. And usually on Sundays, if you fly, it's very busy. And I was going through the Dallas airport. It was dead. And I don't know if it's because people don't fly the day of the Super Bowl like they would fly before or after. I don't really know. It was really odd to me that it was so eerily quiet. Maybe it's because of the plane crash or something like that, that maybe people weren't flying. I don't know. But I was able to, for the most part, like the first flight, I had two empty seats next to me. Like I was able to just really stay away from people and try to keep my germs to myself and just power through and make it home. On the flight though, because of my congestion, then my ear, I don't know what you would call it, like basically
congestion.
I lost hearing in one side of my ear, which is, you know, that happens a lot of times when you fly, but it then would not unpop or whatever we want to call it for, it was over 6 days that I did not have hearing in my ear. Like it got to the place where I was thinking, is it going to come back? I was Googling.
Oh, really?
I was literally Googling about like being sick and losing hearing in your ear and would it come back? When we got home, I went straight to urgent care. I was pretty confident that I had flu A, but I just wanted to make sure. I guess I'm just the kind of person that I like to make sure. So you picked me up. We went straight to urgent care. They did a test. I got me right in, did a test. Yes, flu A. They gave me the option of taking Zofluza, which I hadn't actually ever heard of before. I've only heard of Tamiflu, and we'd had a really bad experience with Tamiflu with Catherine. It made her super sick. So she only took it for one day and then stopped because she was throwing up so much from it, which I guess is a very common thing. But Zofluza is very different. And, I don't think it's been tested as much, but the testing that's been done from the research I did, it seems to have a better success rate than Tamiflu and doesn't make you sick. It's just one pill that you take. It's a little expensive. They gave me a coupon code for it, but I was like, I cannot be down and out for 2 weeks. And so took the Zofluza and came home, went straight to bed, and I did not get out of bed for, it was almost an entire week.
Yeah.
I mean, as the week wore on, I was starting to feel better. And so I would get up a little bit, do some things and lay back down. But I was not fully up out of bed for an entire week, which I cannot remember the last time. Have I ever been in bed for 7 days? I don't know. It was also, I would say, I have a tendency to push myself when I don't feel well enough because people need me, there's things to do. But because I know so many people who have been down and out with the flu, and I've seen that if you push yourself to get up before you're ready, you're going to relapse and then get pneumonia or something like that. I was very careful that I stayed in bed longer than I probably usually would have, just because every time when I would try to get up and do things, I would be so exhausted that I was like, okay, I gotta stay in bed. So that was an adventure. Gratefully, Micah got sick, but he did not get that sick. He had a fever and he didn't feel well for a few days, but he didn't get it at all as bad as I thought he could. He was a lot less sick than Kirsten. And then you didn't get sick. Nobody else got sick. David didn't get sick. We were so grateful. And
yeah, I thought I was going to be getting it.
And yes, absolutely.
There was a couple times I was like, oh, I'm starting to get it. And
you had planned that you and Silas were going to be going to this CrossFit thing in Cookeville, Tennessee, that you'd been looking forward to for weeks. And so I knew that that was on, you were going to need to leave on Friday for that. And so that was another motivation for me to stay in bed and really work hard to get well, because I knew that I was going to be watching the three little kids on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So you were able to, I was feeling well enough for you to be able to leave and go and do that. Honestly, on Friday and Saturday, I mostly stayed in bed and the kids just watched movies, and we did, you know, they just hung out in my room and we watched movies, and I made sure that they were fed and, you know, taken care of. But we had a real low key 2 days. By Sunday, I was finally able to get up and do some things. And by Monday, then I was mostly back to normal. But it's funny because we're recording this on Wednesday. So it's been a full week and a half. Mm-hmm. And I still have a little bit of congestion. My ear's still a little bit funky. And I am still just more tired than usual.
Well, you think of the different weather cycles that we've gone through over the last week. I mean, it was almost 65 degrees the other day. When we were in Cookeville, I looked at the weather and it was 61 degrees outside at like 9 o'clock at night. And then a storm went through and we got up the next morning and it was blowing snow.
Well, and there were tornadoes.
And there were tornadoes that night too.
I didn't sleep well the one night that you were gone, and that might be why I'm tired, because there were tornadoes and you're usually the person who's watching the radar and telling me, and I just kept watching the radar and I was like, this could develop into a tornado at any time, because it had been hot and then it got cold, and I just knew the weather outside was really weird and there were tornadoes in other parts of close nearby states and the storm was coming this way and stuff. And then now we have snow on our ground, on the ground. It snowed probably 2 inches, and tomorrow it's supposed to be a low of 5 degrees. So
I mean, so no wonder your congestion is terrible.
My body's like, what is going on here?
Let's have some normalcy here.
One of my real life friends was raving about this specific supplement on social media. And she talked about it so much and how it made her feel so much better. It really helped her pregnancy be so much smoother. And she's had a lot of kids. So I was like, paying attention to that. And she talked about it so highly that I was like, I need to check this out. Well, it is called DS01. It's a clinically validated 2-in-1 probiotic and prebiotic. And because of her high recommendation, I started taking it myself. It's formulated with 24 strains that support your whole body, including reducing bloating, supporting radiant skin, supporting immune health, and strengthening the gut barrier. I have noticed that since I started taking it, I feel so much more energetic. And I love that. And I also love that it's super easy to take, 2 little capsules right before I go to bed. And it's like something that I'm doing for my health, a gift that I'm giving to myself without much effort at all. Maybe one of your goals for 2025 is to prioritize your health or to work on some areas where you feel like your health is not doing so well. This would be a great thing to check out. Ready to experience a probiotic that actually works? Go to seed.com/crystal and use code 25crystal to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/crystal, code 25crystal. If you want to set your child up for success, but maybe your child is struggling in a specific subject in school, or they're needing help with their homework and you just feel like, I don't know where to turn, I don't know how to help them. Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. It's designed to help kids really understand and master topics in a fun way with positive feedback. And I can tell you, Silas used IXL for his math class. He loved the real-time data that you would get. He's such a person who loves all the graphs and charts and that sort of thing, very different than me. And it really motivated him to see exactly where he was doing and how he was doing. And he actually wanted to work ahead because of the motivation that he got from IXL. This program has been proven to improve kids' grades. Backed by research, kids using IXL are scoring higher on tests. It's going to work for any of your kids. This is the cool thing. You know, every child learns differently, but IXL has used advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter their age or personality. And I love this part. One subscription gets you everything. There's one site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. And if your child is struggling, this is such a smart investment. It'll also save you money because a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. And I love that IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Crystal Payne podcast show listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. I never knew that I could love a pair of jeans so much, especially a pair of jeans that was outside of the type of jeans I would usually pick for myself. Let me tell you about this. So Armoire is a site that is dedicated to helping women get dressed easily. It's a clothing rental membership, and it helps you to build a perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet, and then the styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, you just swap them out for more new to you styles. Well, I did this. I took the style quiz and they picked out this pair of jeans that was very different than a pair of jeans I would pick out for myself. But I was like, you know what? I love that this is going to challenge me to step outside my comfort zone. So I'm going to try this. And I ordered them and I fell in love. So much so that I wore these jeans multiple times every single week, did not want to send them back. And I ended up buying them because I loved them so much. And that's one of the things that I love about Armoire. It helps you to define your personal style, to try things that are different than you usually would, because you don't have to feel like, well, if I don't like this, then I spent the money on it and it's going to sit in my closet and that's going to be wasteful. You can just send it back if you decide you don't like it and swap it out for something else. Another great thing is that if you are pregnant or you're on a fitness journey, Armoire can help you be able to not have to go out and keep getting a lot of new clothes. It can save you money because you can just order clothes at whatever size you are at. And then if that size changes, you can just send them in and swap them out for a different size. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That's armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal. To get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. So you and Silas went to the CrossFit event in Cookeville. Tell us a little bit about that.
We had an open camp for the CrossFit Open coming up for preparation. We have a coach that I work with and that Silas works with as well. He was one of the coaches there at the camp. He wanted us to come and it was a lot of fun. They did two workouts on Sunday that were open style workouts. And I don't think I've pushed myself that hard in a long time, but it was so good. It was a lot of fun. They had different coaches were presenting as well. And a lot of instruction, a lot of teaching, learned a lot and was very encouraged. So,
well, I think it was similar, like we were talking about, you were exercising muscles literally that you haven't maybe exercised that much, and to get to go and do this with Silas and not like leave all of the normal home stuff at home and all of that, and just to be able to go and do something that was really pushing you outside your comfort zone and getting to just challenge yourself mm-hmm. in some ways that you don't often get to. And I think that you just kept you, every time I would text with you or call you, you were just so pumped up about it and you were just having the best time. And I just love that. Like, it was just, it made me so happy. I was so grateful that I was well enough for you to be able to go. And honestly, even though, you know, I didn't feel great at home, I was watching three little kids at the same time. It was like knowing that you were having so much fun and like made it so worth it to me. And I was like, I can do this. I can do this for you and Silas to get to experience that.
And I was encouraged to have Silas there as well. And you know, really want to surround him with godly men that will encourage him and point him in the right direction. And I really feel that we did so this past weekend. So,
and you're getting ready to tackle one of your goals for this year. And hopefully, that is to do the CrossFit Open, mm-hmm. which you've never done before.
No, I've done it before. I haven't RX'd at all before.
Okay.
So
you want to explain what that means?
So I can, with... The thing I like about CrossFit is that the fact that you can take the workout and change it to whatever level you're in and what your abilities are. And as long as you still get the, what's called the stimulus or the result of what the workout's supposed to feel like.
Like challenging yourself.
Because it's going to be different for each individual. So you can change it to your ability. Well, they have certain weights and expectations that are called RX. That if you do it to standard, then you're pushing yourself as the way that they would like to see you be pushed. And every time I usually end up having to change and lower the standard a little bit for what I can do. And I want to be able to see myself increase and get better and be able to then do it as prescribed. So
that's the plan for this open, that you're going to actually...
Hopefully.
Because
I didn't
prescribed.
Do it this weekend, so.
You got this. I'm excited to see how it goes. We got two messages in that I just had to share. This one was from the Miles mom. If you remember, we talked about, I think it was our anniversary, and we were talking about, you know, how many years you could be married. And she said, just listening to your podcast and wanted to tell you that we celebrated my grandparents' 75th anniversary last spring.
Wow.
Yes. And so I need to know if anybody can top that, because being married for 75 years, that is impressive.
So how old were they? Did she say? I mean, you got to be at least 95, both of them.
Yeah. And she didn't say that. Maybe. She just said that. I mean, I suppose they could have gotten 90. Married when they were 18 or something like that. But that's impressive. That's a lot of years. So has anyone had any relative that they know of that has been married for longer than 75 years? I need to know.
Sometimes it feels up. I mean,
also, Jordan wrote in and said, I really enjoy your podcast episodes with Jesse. It feels like I'm listening into a wise older sibling who's already in the next season of life. Thank you again for all that you share, and especially for including your faith in Christ in that. That was really kind of you, Jordan. And we love hearing from you. If you ever have any sort of feedback or thoughts or just anything that pops in your mind as you're listening to a podcast, please send an email, crystal@moneysavingmom.com. And also, we love for you to leave reviews. I'm not the person that asks for reviews. I know you're supposed to do that as a podcaster, but we do have a place on iTunes that you could leave a review. I think the last review was a year ago or something. So if anybody wants to update that with a review, mm-hmm.
I think
that would be amazing.
You can do it on Spotify as well.
Yes. I just usually only look at iTunes.
I think
iTunes.
I do end up getting those.
Okay. So let's talk about Habits of the Household. So this is a book by Justin Whitmill Early, is I think is how you pronounce it. And the subtitle is Practicing the Story of God in Everyday Family Rhythms. And what this book is really about is basically all the different aspects of your life, from getting up in the morning to things like discipline, to things like mealtimes, to things like marriage, to things like bedtime. It just goes through your day and goes through the really practical aspects of your life and encourages you with different ways that you can establish habits that are going to really point your kids and yourself to the gospel and just these everyday family rhythms. And I honestly picked it up. It's been on my shelf for a long time. And I picked it up thinking, I mean, I've heard so many good things about this book, but I was a little hesitant because I was afraid it was going to be one of those where it felt prescriptive. And I talked about this a little bit on the last episode we did together where it didn't feel legalistic at all. But it actually really encouraged me because I realized we do actually have a lot of habits in place that we've had established for a long time that we just do without really even any thought. And so some of the things that he was really encouraging, I'm like, oh, I already do that. And that was just an encouragement to me. So I wanted to share a few of those. I've talked about my morning routine, but one of the things he talks about is not turning on your phone first thing. And that's really a habit that I have established in the last, I would say, 6 months or so, worked hard to that. I turn my alarm off. Yes, my alarm is on the phone. I want to eventually get like a Hatch alarm clock or something, but turn my alarm off on my phone. And then I don't touch my phone and I go read my Bible, read some encouragement from a book, journal a little bit, take a walk and get some fresh air and sunshine and do my workout and do all of those things. And then usually if it's a school morning, help the kids get ready before I ever turn on my phone. And I try to really have it be a full hour in the morning before I turn on my phone. And that's just been such a good practice for me and really getting into that habit of just the first thing I do is go out and sit on our back deck, open up my Bible and read some from God's word. And sometimes, you know, it's not this, yes, sometimes I will be out there for 35 or 40 minutes when it's super cold. I might make it 7 minutes. And it's not, you know, it's just whatever time that I have, depending upon what time I get up, what children get up, what needs are, but it's just that habit. It's not about the time frame. It's more about the first thing, it being the first thing that I do when I get up in the morning. And I'm also praying over my day. So establishing the habit that I'm going to talk to God about my day before I'm going to talk to people about my day. And usually I do that either I'm walking on the treadmill or I'm walking in our neighborhood and just praying over all the aspects of the day, just really giving to the day to God, like whatever I have going on. Like this morning, I prayed over this podcast and us recording this podcast, just praying over those things and inviting God into it and asking for God's help. One of the other things that we have been working, Jesse, to establish as a habit is really prioritizing our marriage. And what does that look like? And so finding pockets of time that we consistently prioritize our marriage. Mm-hmm. And it was not too long ago, you know, we had been trying to say, okay, we're going to put the kids to bed, we're going to get ready for bed, and then we're going to have time together before bed. That might be to watch a show, might be to talk, whatever. But that was not working because we would be so tired by the time we would get all the things done. It'd be too late. And it would be like, we were not giving our best selves at all. And it was not happening consistently because it'd just be like, I got nothing left in the tank. Let's
Or I had stuff I needed to do. You were tired, or you had stuff you needed to do. And I was tired, especially when we were trying to change the schedule and getting up early. Mm-hmm. So what happens when you get up early, you get tired earlier and you're not making room and changing the schedule for allowing the date time. So we needed to make an adjustment, say, hey, if this is really important, where's a time block that we can find where we can carve out?
And so we looked at our day and we're like, what can we come up with that could consistently work for both of us? And the thing that we came up with was mid-afternoon, that you usually pick me up from the co-working space around 2. I work there from 8 to 2. You've picked Kirsten up and David up from school. And then we go home and the kids get to watch a show. And we then can have just, sometimes it's only 20 or 30 minutes. Usually it's no more than 30 minutes because then you need to leave for coaching baseball. But it's just that intentional time that we're going to sit down and we're going to be together and we're watching usually a little bit of an episode of a show. And it's just more about saying we're prioritizing our marriage. We're stopping in the middle of the day to look at one another, to be with one another, and to set aside other things so that we can spend time together.
And showing that that is a priority.
Yeah. And then we're not exhausted. And then it's great because at night, if you need to do something and I need to go to bed, or I need to do something, you need to go to bed, or we both need to go to bed early.
Freedom.
It's like we already had kind of our date time together. And then we're also trying to do, we're one night a week, and our goal is for it to be Wednesday night. The last few Wednesday nights, there have been
weather
things
and
going
issues.
On. Yeah. But on Wednesday night, that because we drop Silas off at youth group and then drop the three younger kids off at the drop-in daycare, and then have about an hour and 15, sometimes an hour and 30 minutes to just have a quick date together. And,
Right. And
we realized, like, we had been trying to do those on the weekends or on Fridays, and it was like, there was always stuff coming up. And so mm-hmm. we're like, let's look at our schedule. And so I just share this to encourage you, if you're feeling like what you're doing is not working, go back to the drawing board. Think outside the box.
Definitely. Be creative.
And, you know, for a lot of people, the middle of the day wouldn't work, but could you do something first thing in the morning? Could you do things as soon as your spouse gets home from work instead of waiting until 10 p.m. to spend time together as soon as your spouse gets home from work? I know one couple that they have where it's like they go sit on the couch and hold hands for 5 minutes and the kids aren't allowed to talk to them, or like it's that's their time. First thing that they like, greet the kids, and then the kids go off and they just have a little bit of time to reconnect. And so get creative, think outside the box, but establishing those habits of saying, like, this is a priority to us, and really thinking of at the end of your life. My business coach, Allie Worthington, talks about consulting your 90-year-old self. Like, what would your 90-year-old self tell you to be investing your time in? And to really think of that, and then get creative, because there is usually a way when there's a will.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that we've been really working on is dinner together, which we had kind of really gotten out of the practice of because of just so many different schedules. As your kids get older, it becomes much more of a challenge to make dinner happen when there's jobs and there's activities and there's sports and there's commitments and just so many things going on. And so we've really been trying to reestablish that, just, you know, even if it's 10 minutes of just sitting around the table together and just reconnecting.
The thing about that is even if it is 5-10 minutes here and there, it's something. It doesn't have to be 30 minutes to an hour every single day where you're saying, okay, if this doesn't happen, it's not worth it. No. What shows it being worth it is that you're carving out that, even the little bit of time that you can, and assigning it to that area that you think is important.
Well, one of the things I loved about the Habits of the Household was he has four boys, and he didn't make it like, oh, it's super perfect. Like when he talked about their family worship night, which they do on Wednesday nights, or their dinner times, it wasn't this, and we all sit down together and everyone bows their head and it's completely quiet, and we, you know, go around and one at a time share. You know, he talked about how sometimes it's super chaotic, but it's still prioritizing the practice. And that just really encouraged me that even if it's so loud and it's so chaotic and people are crying and people need things, and I feel like a lot of our time right now is spent just really training kids, as in, like, you know, no, sit, you know, on your bottom at the table. We do not get up. We do not throw food. We do not cry about this. We do not whine about this. No, we're going to be thankful for the food. We're going to eat four bites, you know, again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. We're just over and over and over reiterating these things and practicing these habits. But I know that it's going to pay off. And I know that in 3 or 5 years from now, our dinner time is not going to look like the chaos that it oftentimes looks like right now.
Chaotic, like as in the podcast.
I don't know what's going to get cut off this podcast, but we have had so many stops and starts. The kids are off school today because of the snow day. And it's just when the kids are off school and we're out of our rhythm, speaking of rhythms, it's amazing how it's just, there's just a lot more interruptions and unexpected, and you just have to plan for there to be constantly people needing things.
But that's the joy of joy in quotes of parenting, you got to learn how to like just plug in we got other stuff going on outside, in just the little snippets of time that you can. So yeah, we, you know, do the podcast. We're going to, you know, hit it in like three different 10-minute segments, you know, but and we'll get it done. If it's a priority, we'll find a way to do it.
Another thing that I was really encouraged by is he talks about your after dinner evening routine. And one thing that we've established with the kids is with our little kids is before they go to bed, they get ready for bed and then we pile into bed and I read to them. We're reading Little House on the Prairie and usually try to read a chapter to a full chapter. And then we read a devotional and it's just, it's a short little thing, but it's just that before you go to bed, us spending that time together, stopping what we're doing, spending that time together, and also just spending a little time pointing them to Jesus. And it's like these little tiny seeds that you're sowing every single day of having those conversations of, you know, saying that same thing over and over again, reminding them the truth of who God is and that he loves them and, you know, really pointing them to Jesus. And I feel like you have so many opportunities as parents and we can get so frustrated when the kids are needing us and when they are interrupting and when they are whining and when they're struggling, but seeing those instead as opportunities to point our kids to Jesus, to invest in them, and to really be teaching them life skills.
You know, I was thinking, that reminded me, I was picking them up at the drop-in daycare here a few weeks ago, and Kirsten and Michael were playing kitchen, I saw, when I walked in there. And they were getting ready to, quote-unquote, eat with one of the other little boys that were there. And both of them had stopped, and they were doing their little prayer at the beginning of eating with this little boy together. And I'm like, you know what? We may have chaos when we have our dinners at night, but they're building these little practices in that they're paying attention and applying it to their own lives in their own way. Sometimes we don't see that.
Yes. And that it's just that reminder that they are watching, they are paying attention, and that those little habits, those little practices do matter. And so as you go throughout your day, just looking for those opportunities to point your kids to Jesus, looking for the little moments that you can capture. Like we said, it might be 5 minutes, 5 minutes at the beginning of your day, 5 minutes at the beginning of a meal, 5 minutes before you go to bed at night, just really taking the time to invest in your kids, to point them to Jesus in the everydayness of life. Because I feel like that's when they're really learning. That's when it really is that consistent doing the thing over and over and over again, when sometimes it feels like, I don't think they're paying attention. I don't think, I mean, last night I remember I was reading and it was chaos and you finally had to be like, no one can talk. But I just have to remind myself, they are listening, because so often then 2 or 3 weeks later, they'll say something and they'll call back to something that I read in one of the devotionals, or, you know, it'll be late and I'll be like, okay, we're just going to go to bed. And Micah's like, we need to do the devotional. And, you know, he goes and gets it and he tells me, it's like, we have to do the devotional. And I love that. I love that they are catching on and paying attention, and that we're saying to them, like, this is important. This is something that we're going to prioritize, and this is important. Thanks so much for joining us. As always, we love hearing from you. And I also wanted to mention, if you are wanting to establish better habits, better practices, if you want to have a little bit more consistency in your life, I have a brand new free daily planner that has it all set up for you to help you to plan your day, to prioritize a few things every single day, plan errands, plan what you're having for dinner, and then also just a short list of things to do every day to keep your house in order. And so we will link to that in the show notes. Like I said, it's absolutely free. There is a different color for every day of the week. If you love colorful things, a mom just wrote in and told me that she's actually going to use the pages. They homeschool and they have 5 kids that are homeschooling, and she's going to actually have her kids use the pages to write out their plan for their day, because she's like, they're so fun and colorful. So anyway, go get your free daily planner. We'll link to that in the show notes. Have a great week, and we will see you soon.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpain.com.